Here at home, midterm elections are just around the corner. People like Jonathan Morgan are closely watching social media for signs of disinformation campaigns targeting voters. Jonathan is founder and CEO of New Knowledge. It's a company that builds technologies to spot these campaigns. So far, he says they've seen action from both domestic and foreign players.
The foreign actors are the typical cast of characters: Russia, Iran, Israel. But here in the U.S., it's mostly political operatives. And I think this is where there's a really interesting question. The techniques are similar. They might be operating a network of websites, but doing it in a way that is opaque to the audience of those websites. So to that audience, it appears that there's dozens of publications and there's a consensus around important political issues amongst those publications, when in fact, it's not really a consensus. It's a few people orchestrating that message. And that might be amplified by thousands of social media accounts that are coordinating their activity, either because they're automated like botnets or they're little armies of humans trying to spread a message intentionally as quickly and as broadly as possible. And so these are the characteristics that we associated with foreign influence operations, but they're, again, being done by folks who I think assume that they're just kind of hustling to get their message out as political operatives, even if it's a little shady or a little disingenuous.
And in terms of foreign actors, Russia doesn't surprise me, but what are Iran and Israel up to?
Very similar things. Similar to Russia, we see these networks of accounts focused on their foreign policy objectives. But what's interesting is that when there's a really contentious domestic issue here in the U.S., like the Kavanaugh nomination, for example, they do turn and focus on amplifying both sides of that issue, kind of sowing discord, which is, again, really similar to what we saw in 2016.
Are these campaigns targeting specific races in specific states?
Even in races that have been very high profile, for example, the Cruz-O'Rourke Senate race in Texas,
right.
While there is a lot of social media engagement around that race, and there are some tactics being used, again, by, we think, domestic actors that are arguably manipulative, we're not seeing a lot of foreign amplification of one candidate or another in those races.
Generally, how would you say these operations right now compare to what we saw in the 2016 U.S. presidential election, both in terms of the end goal and the strategy, how it's actually done?
Well, we're seeing an evolution of tactics. So this is definitely an arms race. The social media platforms have improved their ability to detect certain types of tactics that we know are associated with foreign influence. But of course, new tactics are evolving. New proxies are being developed, or new human assets are being cultivated so that foreign actors can operate through real Americans and obfuscate their activity. And in terms of strategy, I'd say that's been largely consistent from one election to the next. As much as there's been a huge focus on whether or not the Russian operation was focused on supporting the Trump campaign over the Clinton campaign, ultimately, I think what we've seen over the long term is that their real strategy was focusing on things that were very divisive. And of course, presidential elections are very divisive. Mm. And the more divisive they can make that conversation, the better. And the Kavanaugh nomination and the Me Too movement and the allegations of sexual assault, I think, of course, that's been a very – it's sort of an open wound for the country right now. So it's really no surprise that these accounts were trying to exacerbate that that discord.
Speaking of social media tactics, we just heard a story about Facebook working with fact-checkers on the ground in Brazil to prevent the spread of disinformation as people there head to polls over the weekend, this coming weekend. Are Facebook and other social media companies doing the same kind of things here in the U.S.?
They are. And I think working with fact-checkers is certainly one part of the solution. Of course, we want the information that gets disseminated online to be authentic and correct. But what we think about as disinformation is actually less about the truth or the authenticity of any given story and more about how it's distributed. Is the platform being manipulated to elevate one story or one narrative or one point of view over another? And I think that's where the social media platforms are also starting to work with third parties to identify this sort of manipulative distribution.
I just want to ask you about the news today, a Department of Justice charging 7 Russian military officials for hacking into anti-doping agencies and activists, as well as a Pennsylvania nuclear energy concern. It's kind of apples and oranges compared to what we're talking about, but it does suggest more Russian meddling. How do you see these charges against the concern of more apparent election meddling?
I think this is actually an indication that what we traditionally think about as cyber warfare and what we've started to think about as information warfare are actually one and the same. And the more that we think about these two things as being synonymous or overlapping, the more we'll be able to defend ourselves against these types of attacks in the future and thoughtfully engage with our adversaries around what is and isn't acceptable. What are the rules of the road in terms of this ongoing combat between nations that are sometimes friends and sometimes adversaries?
Jonathan Morgan is the CEO of New Knowledge. He also founded Data for Democracy, an organization that looks at ethics in the tech industry. Jonathan, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.